I think I really sensed two things. And the first one was the message of hope. And it's an impartational message. It comes into our hearts and it does something in our hearts. And the second one was the healing power of the Lord. Wasn't it good to see people who were healed? And I believe that tonight too, the Lord wants to heal people in many areas. Healing is more than physical. There is physical healing, but there's healing in so many dimensions of our life. And the Bible says, I think it's the book of Jeremiah. I can't place this verse, but the Bible says, He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from being destroyed. Healing takes us on a different pathway, doesn't it? The pathway of life, not the pathway of destruction. And isn't healing, physical healing, emotional healing, healing in the soul, healing in whatever area of our life, healing of relationships, isn't that a wonderful thing to take us away from destruction? And healing comes from hope. And where there's no hope, there's little healing. See, hope brings victory, hope brings healing, and hope brings life. And so, really what I want to speak about, and then we're just going to have a time of just worship and ministry through that word, but hope that brings divine healing. Hope for healing. And I pray that even the word, you know, a messenger is a messenger, and God chooses messengers and uses messengers, but His power is never in the messenger. His power is in the word. His power is in Himself. The power of Jesus is in His blood and in His broken body. And so healing comes through hope. Isaac was born through hope. The Bible says when there was no hope, it was against hope, Abraham believed in hope. Now there's a sense we could say, when I felt no hope, I believed in hope for healing. When there didn't seem to be much hope, I got hope. And the wonderful thing about hope is something, it's actually something we take hold of, and in the midst of no hope, God gives hope. In the midst of no hope, hope comes. And I pray that that's really going to happen to us today. Now, hope is the anchor for our soul, and we know that. That verse, and that verse is coming into our heart, isn't it? Hope is the anchor. Now, without the anchor, the soul is tossed around. A boat without an anchor is drifting. It's going this way and it's going that way. And our soul is tossed around without the anchor. And the anchor is hope. But the anchor stabilizes the boat. And so hope puts us in a position for healing. God heals, but it's good to be in a position to be healed. In fact, when you look at the story of Jesus, who was healed? It was the ones who were positioned to be healed. They came. Jesus didn't go to all the homes out there and say, bring out your sick. But those who came positioned themselves to be healed. And hope brings us into a position to be healed. And I want us to look at a few verses tonight. But Psalm 42, if we look at verse 3, here is a man. Now, the Bible says, the introduction to this psalm, chief musician, a contemplation of the sons of Korah. But some people say it could have been from David originally when he was fleeing from Absalom. Remember Absalom, his son whom he loved so much, and Absalom betrayed him, and he had to run away from Absalom. And this is what he said: "My tears have been my food day and night." What a word. My tears have been my food day and night. Now, maybe some here have been there. I personally have never been there. But that's depression, isn't it? That's a low place. My tears have been my food day and night, and they continually say to me, "Where is your God?" And there's a man who's struggling in his soul. And then in verse 4, let's read verse 4. "When I remembered these things, I poured out my soul within me." Can you hear the agony? Can you hear the pain? Can you hear the hurt? "I poured out my soul within me, for I used to go with the multitude." I went with them to the CRC in Narendra. I went with them to church. Church is alive and vibrant. Church is a place where healing takes place and where life comes. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept a pilgrim feast. And here's a man, he says, "Tears have been my food day and night." What a struggle. And what aloneness, what isolation. But seems to be there's no healing. But let's look at verse 5. And then this man says, the man who's crying tears, and maybe there's some here and you say, "I feel a bit like that sometimes. There's a sense that that's me. I'm struggling in some way." And as we've been hearing in the school, and so I think last night we heard it. God knows your tears. God knows your struggles. In fact, God knows how many hairs are on my head. I haven't a clue. God knows me better than I know me, doesn't he? And so this man, maybe David, he said, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God. I will yet praise him for the help of his countenance." And this verse actually takes us in some ways into a new covenant, because the new covenant is about God's face. The old covenant is about God's laws and almost the back parts of God, the shadow of God. But the new covenant is God's face. And he says, "When I hope in God, his face is going to shine upon me." And so he was, here's a man who's agitated. Here's a man who can't find blessing. But this man rose up and he spoke to his soul. His heart and his strength rose up and spoke to his soul and started ruling over his soul. Now his soul was being ruled over by pain and sadness and depression. But David, or this man, he rose up, he said, "No depression, you are not ruling, I am ruling over you. You are not ruling over my soul, I am ruling over my soul. You're not ruling over my trauma, I am ruling over my trauma. And I say to you, hope in God. I say to you, you're not going to be full of pain, you're going to hope in God." So he said to his soul, "Hope in God, because his countenance is going to shine upon me." He commanded his soul to hope in God. What a command. And his emotions started to obey him. And his thoughts started to obey him. And instead of being tossed around, his soul was obeying hope. And hope is an anchor to the soul. Now, the situation did not immediately change, but his soul obeyed. And it was a bit like the word of Jesus when Jesus silenced the storm. There was a storm, and the disciples were so agitated, and everyone was beside themselves. And Jesus stood and he said, "Storm, be still." What happened to the storm? Did it obey his voice? Absolutely. Now, this man says, "Soul, be still," and the soul obeys. Now, we have a greater commandment than David had. We have a greater commandment than what's in the Old Testament. We have the commandment of the blood of Jesus. We have the commandment, the covenant. We have the greater covenant. We have the covenant of the blood of Jesus. We have the covenant of the name of Jesus, which is above every name and above every agitation in our soul. And so if we're battling in our soul, we have a covenant by which there's a word that can say hope in God. We can speak to our soul and say, "You will hope in God because of the covenant through the blood of Jesus, which is the covenant of hope." And we can speak to our soul and our soul will obey the voice of the Lord that we are speaking. There it is in Psalm 42. "Why are you cast down? You are not going to be cast down. You will hope in God." See, our soul is not the boss. It can be a hindrance. What we're going through and the agitation and the turmoil and the restlessness and sleeplessness and pain, you know, these things are very real and I don't discount them, but they're not the boss. Jesus is the boss, the one who calms the storm, and we have a word in his name. We can say to our soul, "Hope in God." And that's the beginning of how we change. And I'm saying that, and there's something I'd like us to do tonight, just very briefly. And maybe there's some here, and I believe there are some here, and you're struggling. You're struggling in your emotion. You're struggling in your soul. Some of you, there have been a lot of tears. There's been a lot of heartache. There's been confusion and conflict. The soul is not anchored. Now, that's very real, and you know, God loves us so much. God's not saying, "You know, why are you like that?" But God's saying, "Hope in me." And so what I think would be good for us to do at this time is to speak to our soul. Are you willing to speak to your soul? You've been going through a struggle. Are you willing to speak to your soul? And so I'd like us just for a few moments, maybe for a minute or half a minute. And so I'm going to ask us, we can speak in tongues, and we're just going to praise the Lord and just speak the goodness of the Lord. But if you are struggling in the midst of us speaking to the Lord, you speak to your soul and say, "Soul, you will not exhibit pain, you will not exhibit heartache, you will not exhibit turmoil, you will not exhibit confusion, you will have hope. You will hope in God." Are you able to do that? So let's just pray. Let's pray. Let's pray in tongues. Kabababaratiendiki diamamarati diki kabaratini. Manda yababaranda yamamarachanda yababuchundo kuchunda kakaharandai. And as we're praying, if you're struggling in your soul in some way, you just speak to your soul and say, "Soul, hope in God. Soul, you will hope in God." Yes, soul, you will not be in turmoil. You will not be agitated. You will not be full of pain and crying. You will hope in God because He is my health. He is my health. In Jesus' name. Amen. That's the beginning of healing. You see, healing comes through hope. When I hope, victory is coming. Now, hope brings us into hearing. Let's look at David. Very quickly, 1 Samuel 30 and verse 6. David was in great distress. The Bible says he was distressed. In fact, David was greatly distressed because of the enemy. Was it Amalekites, whoever it was? I'm sure they had ites on the end of their name. And the ites had come and taken the wives and the children and the possessions of his army when they're away. And the army rose up to kill him. They were so angry. They were so distressed. They were so grieved. And it says, now David was greatly distressed because the people spoke of stoning him because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself, encouraged himself, spoke hope to his soul in God. He said, soul, you've got hope. I tell you what, when people have stones about to throw at you, hope is very powerful. And so he said, soul, you have hope. He encouraged himself. He strengthened himself in the Lord. Himself is his soul. He strengthens his emotions because David was distressed. He had cried till he couldn't cry anymore. His soul was subdued. His soul was captive. But David's a man. He says, no giant's going to captivate me, and nothing in my soul's going to captivate me. I've got hope. And so he strengthened himself in the Lord. And then the next verses, David said to Abiathar the priest, Abimelech's son, please bring the ephod here to me. And Abiathar brought the ephod to David. And the next verse, and David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue the troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for you will surely overtake them and without fail recover all. You see, when hope returns, when hope comes, God speaks. We hear God. And we hear the voice of God. And so when we rise up in hope, we hear God. We hear God about our healing. We hear God about our prosperity. We hear God about our provision. We hear God about life. We hear God when hope arises. When hope is down, the voice of God is dim. And so we need to hear God. And I'm just going to pray. We have a word of revelation. Do you want to hear God? You're struggling. Do you want to hear God? Let's pray. Father, I pray for a word of revelation into the hearts of everyone here. I'm included in this. And everyone here who needs a word from you, a word in season, that's a word for tonight. I ask you, Lord, to speak that word into our heart, to speak that word into our soul, because we hope in God. We have chosen a hope in God, and we've said to our soul, hope in God. And so we ask for that word of revelation, and we will hear what you are saying to us in this situation. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, one important thing, if you want to hear from God, expect to hear from God. Do you expect to hear from God? Amen. And the third thing, and this is the last thing I want to just mention tonight, hope keeps on hoping until we reach our destiny. Hope, if we take hold of hope, it will bring us to our destiny. Maybe that's a better way to put it. If I keep hoping, hope will bring me there. Romans chapter 8 and verse 29. If I keep hoping in Jesus, who's my healer, hope will bring me there. Wow. Romans 8 verse 29. For whom God foreknew. That's a very powerful word, foreknew. For whom he foreknew, he predestined. That's a word we say, what does that mean? Predestined. I'll explain it. For whom he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. Is that good? Now, if I'm conformed to the image of his Son, and that means that's my destiny, if my destiny is the image of Jesus, is that sickness? Is Jesus sick? Is Jesus depressed? Is Jesus struggling? And my hope is conforming me to the image of Jesus. Wow, is there a better destiny? No. So that's a wonderful word of hope. You see, God foreknew us. God knew us before we were born. I'll go further. God knew us before the world was created. God knew you and God knew me. And actually, he knew how many hairs would be on our head then. He didn't count them just now. He knew then. Wow. And he created, because he knew us, he created a pathway for us to walk on. And that's called destiny, because destiny is always a pathway. So he created a plan and a purpose and a life-giving flow and a life-giving thing for our lives. And God created it for us before we were born. So before we were born, God says, I've got a plan for you, Malcolm, to be conformed to the image of Jesus. And that's the best plan in the universe. That's the best plan ever, isn't it? Is there a better plan? Absolutely not. And so that's predestination. And so God says, I've got a plan for you to be changed. Conform means changed. I've got a plan for you to be changed to become like Jesus. And how is Jesus? Jesus is vibrant. Jesus is alive. Jesus has no problems in his soul. Jesus has no problems in his body. Jesus is whole and soundness. And I'm not saying that, I'm not saying that in terms of, yes, we'll be perfect in that way, but we're being changed into that image. That's what I'm saying. In fact, in Isaiah 35 and verse 8, a lot of the book of Isaiah really speaks of the new covenant, and I believe this is a new covenant word. It says, a highway shall be there. That's predestination, destiny, a pathway. God's planned a pathway for you and a road, and it will be called the highway of holiness. Whose blood has made it holy? The blood of Jesus has made it holy. The unclean will not pass over it. Are we clean or unclean? We're cleansed in the blood of Jesus, aren't we? And our heart is clean to walk clean and to live clean. Isn't that right? But we're clean by the blood. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for others. And I love this. Whoever walks the road, even though they're a fool. You might say, I'm not very clever. I'm not very good. I'm not gifted. Even if you're a fool, you will not go astray. Woo. Do fools go astray? Not on this pathway. So if you keep walking with God in hope, you will not get off the pathway. Isn't that an amazing word of God? You see, that's my healing. because the pathway leads to healing. And I'll say something, if we stray, and I've strayed, if you strayed, but if we stray, even if we're a fool, we'll get back on. We'll get back into it. Because Jesus is bigger than our mistakes. He's bigger than our failure. He's bigger than our struggles. He's even bigger than our lack of faith. And he says, hope in me, and speak to your soul and say, hope in God. So that's predestination is first of all the pathway. But there are two more things about predestination I want to mention. God reveals it to us step by step. As we travel on it, God reveals it to us. Can you see it? Can you see the promises of God? Can you see what God says? This is your destiny. Healing is your destiny. Whatever you're feeling, in your physical being, whatever you're feeling in your soul, whatever you're feeling, healing is our destiny. Life is our destiny because the image of Jesus is the greatest image. So can we see our destiny of healing? And then thirdly, we embrace it. We choose it. We take hold of it. Will you take hold of your destiny and say, my destiny is healing? I might be struggling emotionally at this time, but I'm on the pathway, and I've spoken to my soul and I've said, hope in God. Now that's a step. And I've said, Lord, show me, give me revelation. And that's a step. And can you see the destiny? Can you see your destiny? Now, I believe that God wants to bring healing in various ways. And thank you for the musicians come. And I'm just going to ask Jill also just to come. And we're going to minister to the Lord. And through his word and through his power and through the power of the Holy Spirit, God wants to bring healing into our midst.